Beyond the Mic with Sean Dillon.
We're joined on the Star Line by a singer-songwriter. She's performed at the Pentagon, the White House, and New York-based venues such as Pianos and Rockwood Music Hall. Her latest project is a single, Come Back to You. We welcome Payson Maestrich.
Hi.
Payson, let's go beyond the mic. Your last song celebrated your everlasting love for Harry Styles. But now you're talking about toxic relationships in Come Back to You. Why does communicating your feelings through music soothe you?
That's a great question. I was more prepared to answer and talk incessantly about Harry Styles, but if we must get into the emotions, let's do it. Yeah, I mean, I think like I've always felt things pretty intensely and pretty deeply, and listening to music has it's been like a catharsis for those kind of feelings, just a way to sort of process them and, I don't know, I guess understand the world a little bit. So that's just kind of like the people that I admire, that's just always been helpful for me. So to be able to turn those feelings for myself into art, it's just something that's, I don't know, it's just always just is, I guess.
You love songwriters who profit off of their heartbreak. Which heartbreak influenced this song?
I don't know if I should say that on camera. No, this is actually funny. So I typically write my own music, but this is actually one of the songs that was pitched to me. And it was because I was seeing someone who things were just very back and forth, hot and cold, on and off. And I was complaining in the studio one day just before we were recording to my producer. And he was like, you know, hold on a second. I actually have a song that I think you're going to really love. And I was like, okay, like, let me hear it. So he pitches it to me. I immediately fall in love. We tweak it just to fit my own situation a little bit more, like come from my voice a bit. And that's kind of the history of Come Back to You. It was already kind of waiting for me.
How does your own relationships today and in the past influence your music?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I just process my own feelings and my own experiences through writing and through music. So kind of whatever is going on with me, the only way that I know how to contextualize it or process it is through that creative process of writing about it, of either it living in my journal or potentially coming to life via a song. It's just kind of how I continue to move through the world a little bit. So kind of everything in my relationships is fair game when it comes to art.
Does your relationships all compare to Harry Styles?
Oh yeah, they're all competing with Harry Styles. 100%. They know that. I'm honest about it. It's like on my Hinge, literally it says, I will leave you for Harry Styles. So they know from the get.
Payson, finish this sentence. The perfect relationship begins with blank. And it can't be Harry Styles.
A little cliche, but I've always said communication is key. I think a lot gets lost in translation and in complex emotions and nuances, and especially, you know, in the digital age with text tone, even just like really being honest about how you feel and where you're at, what you're looking for is paramount to me.
Payson Maestrich's latest single is Come Back to You. It's time for My Way of Torturing You.
Oh, no.
It's time for the Rocking 88 random questions. Answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. There is no pressure.
Okay.
Payson, how many pumpkin Dunkin' Donut munchkins can you eat in one sitting?
Easily 50, and I know that for a fact.
What's your favorite Halloween costume?
I love Halloween. I get really into it. It's so hard to pick a favorite. I was American Horror Story once with a group, and I dressed as a trash bag. It was American Horror Story NYC, like that season, so I was a trash bag.
How about the last musical you've seen that isn't Mozart, Her Story?
What was it? I think it was The Great Gatsby or Cabaret. Both amazing.
Least favorite and best Harry Styles songs are what?
Least favorite? Never. It doesn't exist.
You gotta pick one. There's gotta be one song that you think could be better.
All right, fine. Music for a sushi restaurant, not really my jam. Best one? See, that's an even harder question. I know it's basic, but As It Was, like, unlocks something in my brain. Like, I could be having the literal worst day on earth, but if I hear that, it's over. Everything I'm bad, I'm feeling is over.
So I'm going to torture you more. The best Taylor Swift song is obviously
All Too Well, 10-minute version.
Why?
I don't even have to think about that. The big Swiftie. I might love her more than Harry Styles, but don't tell
Payson, What's the one thing you dislike the most about the city you live in now?
Me and New York have a love, honestly, come back to you is a little bit about New York sometimes. We have a little bit of a love-hate relationship.
I've stumped you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if I should give like the obvious answer, which is like rent is crazy. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's you could see my entire apartment right now, and you don't even want to know what I pay for that. But yeah, I'm gonna go with rent.
Payson, do you help people out of kindness or because it hurts you if you don't?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. I mean, specifically, like the people that I love in my life, it hurts me to see them hurt. And so there's obviously sort of an impetus to help them that comes from like a very personal place. I care about them. I want them to be in the best position of their life. But a stranger, I don't know. I think it's just kind of an impulse sometimes. You know, if you see someone drop something on the floor, like I don't think it would hurt me to not say anything, but what's the harm in doing a good thing?
Is it true you failed your first driving test, and how close was the score?
Who told you that? Yes, I did. Did my dad tell you that? I did. That's so embarrassing. Yes, I did fail my first driver's test. And the worst part about it is that I'm like the old, like I'm older for my grade. So like I turned 17, which is the driving age in New Jersey, in summer before everybody else did. So everybody was like counting on me. They were like, it was like the eyes were on me. And I turned on the wrong side of the road. I turned on the wrong side of the road. I thought it was a one way. It was not a one way. It was, I mean, I think maybe that's a sign that I belong in London with, drum roll please, Harry Styles.
Or in Paris on the wrong side of the road.
Paris. That's right. That's right.
It's time for the back half with Payson Maestrich. Her latest single has Come Back to You, and she joins us Beyond the Mic. Payson, what's the best thing about your late dog, Cody?
Oh my God, you really have all the background info on me. Cody is like my soul. I don't know if you can see where his initial on my neck. That's a Taylor Swift reference. He was just like not your typical dog. Like, I think he was a cat stuck in a dog's body. Like, most dogs are gonna like come up to you and they're gonna be so excited. Like, you really need to earn your station with Cody. And like, if he wasn't feeling it, he's gonna bite you. I mean, he does not care. Like, and I just like respected that. He just had a very fiery, interesting personality and was also adorable. So that helped.
What's your typical warm-up for a show, and how long does it take you to get warm?
So I have a daily warm-up that I do that I got from my voice teacher. So I definitely do that. Obviously, I get ready and takes 500 years to pick out an outfit because I'm a girl and it's just what happens. But a more psychological level, I feel like shows are so interesting because you're kind of like getting up, at least, you know, like if you're an artist like I am and you sing about your own personal experiences, like you're getting up and you're like reading your diary for everyone to see. And it's very vulnerable, it's very weird, it's personal, it's like you're dad's in the audience and you're singing about sex and it's just a lot, or like you're the guy that you're seeing is there and you're singing about your ex-boyfriend, how much you loved him, and it's a lot. I mean, it's, and I'm a big overthinker, so like that can be a hindrance for me if I'm like, oh my God, like is someone gonna read this line the wrong way, or if I say it this way, is it gonna come off this way? So I need like kind of like a meditation session, for lack of a better word, before shows to sort of like divorce my everyday self from my performer self, kind of like, you know, like I'm not a person who like I want to like invite all my friends backstage and like we all hang out, and I need to like step out of my life a little bit so I can go on stage and not worry about who's in the audience or what they're thinking. Like, I am so much better at performing in front of strangers than I am in front of my friends. Like, I would take 1,000 strangers over 4 of my friends easily, and I'm very grateful that my friends come out. That is not what I mean to say, but I do need like some time to decompress a little bit before a show, definitely.
What's more nerve-wracking, a set with your family or your friends watching?
Family.
Why?
I mean, I sing so much about relationships, and my friends already know most of that. You know, it's like I'm always texting them. They like are seeing the screenshots. Every, like, just for any of the men watching this who are listening to this who I've ever dated, just know that almost every text you've ever sent me has probably circulated at least 15 group chats, like at a time. Like, so it's like a little less pressure or awkwardness. But like with your family, it's like you kind of tell them what needs to be told when it needs to be told. But then you kind of go up on stage and you're telling them everything. And it's my family's very supportive, so I'm very lucky in that regard. And most of my family's in the arts as well, so it's cool to be able to like collaborate with them and show them what I can do. But it's definitely like it's a little awkward sometimes.
You're singing about love and sex, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm still daddy's little girl.
Exactly. Exactly.
When did your musical adventure begin?
So I always tell this story because I think it's funny, but I never knew I could sing growing up until I was in the third grade. And, I would sing obviously to the radio, but I wasn't trained or I wasn't in any like activities that were musically inclined. Until I got to third grade, and one of my friends decided to make a stage adaptation of The School of Rock, the movie. I don't know if you remember with Jack Black. He was obsessed with it, like nonstop obsessed with watch it every day. So he decided he was going to put on this play, and there's this like solo at the end, and all the girls in the class wanted to go out for it, and I am famously horrible at succumbing to peer pressure. So I was like, okay, like I'll go out for it too. And I did it, and he was like, wow, like you can sing, right? And I was like, no, I didn't. And that kind of like weirdly started my journey because I got the solo, and then that led to kind of me being a little bit more adventurous with trying out for stuff in choir and that kind of thing. I got more involved in theater. I started classically training. So I really have to thank John for all of this. If you're listening, John, thank you.
Payson, who's the one person that you share a song with first? That one person that you can see the reaction in their face, whether it'll be good or a bad song.
Definitely my dad, and not even his face. My dad, again, so supportive. I love my dad very much. The most honest person you will ever meet. Like, does not have an ability to tell you a white lie to protect your feelings. Like, I remember being in high school and I got these like horrible, retrospectively, like tiger stripe blonde highlights, and everyone was like, "Oh, like they it looks so good." And my dad looks at me and he's like, "What did you do to your hair?" Like, if he doesn't like it, he's going to be like, that sucks. Like, fix it. Obviously, I'm going to take it with a grain of salt, but honestly, that's actually never happened. He's been pretty good, but he's very honest. He gives really good feedback. He's somewhat of a writer himself, so I really respect his opinion, particularly with the lyrics. So definitely my dad.
Admit it, does he ever judge what you wear on stage?
Yeah, for sure. We've had some fights at times because he's not thrilled about the way that I, what the picture that I posted on Instagram or what I'm wearing, but pretty like chaste for the most part. It could be worse. It could be worse, I think.
Where's your favorite place to sing?
The car.
Why?
I'm a Jersey girl. Like, driving was like the first freedom for me. Like, just being alone in a car, driving around at night, it just like unlocked something in me. I could do it for hours. I have done it for hours. Like back and forth musical soundtracks around the streets of suburban New Jersey. It's just like very peaceful.
Where's the best place for you to experience freedom?
It might also be the car. Honestly, like I don't know what it is. Like I said, I think it just like does, it did represent the sense of freedom when I was 17 and I was like, I can go anywhere, I could do anything, I could drive to the beach if I wanted to. So I just do my best thinking in the car. Like I'm like if I'm anxious and I have all these thoughts like swirling around in my head, like I'll go for a drive, calm myself down. Close runner up would be a rooftop, like a New York City rooftop. Nothing beats that view. It has to be like nice though. I mean, like you don't want to be up there in the winter.
Or you just don't want to be there when it's 110.
Right. Oh
How about your favorite beach?
God. Honestly, don't come for me, but I'm not really a big beach girl. I know.
What?
I know. Look, okay, here's my thing. This is actually gonna make me sound way worse. I'm irrationally afraid of sharks. I like sharks. I do. Like, I love every animal. I'm irrationally afraid of sharks. I used to not be able to go, well, used to is a strong word, but I don't like going in pools by myself because, like, I think there's gonna be a sh I don't know. It's irrational. It is irrational. I just feel like there was an episode, to be fair, of CSI Miami. I remember this, where the woman gets drunk and she comes home. She like gets in her pool and takes a swim. And some like psycho had put a shark in her pool and she was too drunk to notice and the shark ate her. So it could happen. It could happen. But the beach, obviously, is, I mean, literally, there could be a shark there. So I don't really love lying out in the sun. I'm pale. I like being in the water. I can't be in the water at the beach, so it's not really ever that fun for me. If I had to choose though, again, I am a Jersey girl, so probably Spring Lake. You can edit everything else out. You should say Spring Lake so I seem more normal.
Payson Maestrich joins us beyond the mic. Her latest single is Come Back to You. And let's talk about music. I'm not editing that out, by the way, Payson.
Awesome.
Why did you fall out of love with music?
I don't know if I fell out of love with music, but I think,
Well, you fell back in love with music.
yeah, I mean, I think it's something that never goes away, but I think any artist can say, like, there's just such an up and down experience being a creative, especially like an independent artist. Like, there's just so much to do and think about all the time. You're constantly like on social media, you're constantly promoting yourself, and it's something that's so pure to me, like this ability to, not even ability, but like need to create something to process what I'm going through and to help me contextualize my own feelings and to really like understand them. Like, I kind of feel like all my thoughts are swirling around until I'm able to like get them on the page or sing them on the track, and then all of a sudden they make sense to me. And it's kind of tough, like having to commodify that a little bit. You know, it takes some of the purity away from it. So I think, like, when you're doing that nonstop, and like all of a sudden your biggest concern is like, how many followers do I have on Instagram? And is this gonna hit on TikTok or be viral? I'm 29, so I don't know anything about that. But like, I should, but I'm no Gen Z, unfortunately. It doesn't come naturally to me. And so it becomes more of like a job than this like creative outlet. And I think I do go through phases where sometimes it feels like I'm clocking in rather than doing what I love and I'm passionate about. I think that love and that passion's always there, but it does, you know, it just gets a little exhausting sometimes, but I do feel like I'm in a phase right now where we're kind of back to that excitement to create.
Payson, who do you have the strongest unspoken bond with musically?
Like someone I know on a personal level or an.
Who's that person you can just give a look and they know you're going to pull something big
I
out?
currently record at a studio in New York called Biscuit Head Collective, and that entire team has just made everything go exactly the way that you say. Like, it's just, there's nothing really lost in translation. I can bring them anything, even if I'm a writer and I'm a singer. Like, I don't produce. I can read music. I know music theory. I studied violin for years, but I'm not really necessarily, like, I don't really know the vernacular that I should know. So sometimes I'll be like, it sounds like silver. Like, it should sound like silvery. And like, they just know what that means somehow. And it's nice because, again, I'm kind of speaking nonsense and they're always translating it for me. And we just get, they're the ones who produced Come Back to You. And we just like end up with this final product that like I am just so always in awe of and so excited to put out. And that's such like a rare feeling, I think.
What are the three songs that change the way you understand and love music forever?
Okay. First one comes to mind, Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. Literally changed me as a person. I'm not kidding. I'm a very petty person. So, first of all, I loved the song. I mean, it's genius. It just is. And it like taught me that like simplicity in lyricism is almost better than this sort of like, because I'm very like, I try to be a little bit more poetic sometimes or have all these flowery metaphors, but it's like, no, like players only love you when they're playing. That's a lot. I mean, that's why it's still so popular, however many years later. But I'm also very petty. And the whole history of rumors just fascinated me. Like, knowing that not only was this like such a badass killer song, but like the guy she wrote it about has to play behind her while she sings it. I didn't even know you could do that. I was like, oh my God. Like, it like unlocked something for me. So definitely Dreams. I'm going to go back to All Too Well. Obviously, 10 Minute Version came out more recently, but that song, narrative is really important to me in my own music. It's not necessary for like me as a consumer, but I always connect more with songs that have a story, which is why I am such a big Taylor Swift fan. And the arc of that song is so stunning. And like you really feel like it's not only like a great song, great lyrics, the best bridge of all time, period. I will stand on that and die on that hill, at least of Taylor Swift's discography. But like you really feel like you're going through exactly what she went through, exactly those feelings, exactly, you know, the moments in the relationship that stuck out and that she remembers all too well. Like it was so like touching and evocative to me. And it really like changed the way that I write music because it definitely influenced that sort of like narrative-based storytelling that I try to emulate in my own songs.
And the third?
Three. Oh God. Okay, let me think.
I'm just shocked you didn't name a Harry Styles song.
Listen, I love, okay, I can't even say this on camera. I love Harry Styles. I do. But like I was a little late to the game. I was a little late to the game. Like I loved one, I mean, you know, I was a teenager when One Direction came out. I'm not saying I didn't like them, but I wasn't like a super fan, you know what I mean? Like I wasn't crying and getting their autograph at the concerts. Like I started liking Harry Styles when he started painting his nails. Like I just thought that was hot. Like so I'm kind of going back to like the OG, like what's like the formative songs for me. And I don't know. I mean, he changed me later. You know, I'll put him on the list when he writes a song about me. How about that?
It's okay. You talked about what goes through your mind earlier. When you're singing in front of a crowd, what are you thinking of and how do you focus just on the music?
Honestly, like there really aren't. That's like when my brain has to get quiet because I am an overthinker. Like, and if my brain's on and I'm on stage, like it's really easy for me to sort of scan the crowd and be like, oh, that person's texting, or that person's doing this, or that person's like respond, like who's here? Like it's not going to translate into a good performance. So I'm just trying to live out and kind of act out the lyrics as much as possible. So the really only thing that's going through my head is like the song. Otherwise, I'm thinking like, oh my God, I have to fix my straps and I have to walk here and do that. Like I'm just trying to live in the moment as much as humanly possible while on stage, which is tough for me, but I manage.
Payson, what was your first guitar and who gave it to you?
I know you see guitars on the wall, but like I'm not actually really like I'm not. I can play a couple chords, but like I said, I'm a writer and I'm a singer. I don't know if I could call myself a guitarist. I think that might be my first guitar, and it's red because that's my favorite color. And I wanted to learn the guitar, and I got somewhat proficient, but I don't think enough to play on a track. So I don't know. I got it myself, I guess. Me, I don't. I maybe it was a gift. I can't remember.
Payson Maestrich, her single has come back to you. Let's talk about some family.
Oh God.
How has your family supported your musical career and how important are they for your success?
Exponentially. My family, as I mentioned, is in the arts, almost all of them. And so they really understand that creative mindset, that kind of creative lifestyle, even. You know, it's not like a typical job. You don't clock in and clock out. It really is who you are as a person. And it's nonstop. And so having a family who not only like supports that, but also lives it themselves is really, really, really been helpful. You know, my dad and I, he's effectively my manager. So he's kind of a person who guides me through a lot of situations that I probably would not have been equipped to handle on my own. So I don't think I'd be anywhere without my family support. And even just in a non-musical, non-business related way, like it's really nice to feel that love and that, what's the word? Not commitment, but respect and understanding and support. You know, they're at all my shows. They share all my songs. Like they're just as excited about it, if not more than me. And it's really like, it helps me to keep going, even when things are not great in my head.
So, Payson, what's the one lesson your mom has given you that's made you a stronger woman?
Oh, so many. My mom is actually a therapist, so she's Literally, like the best set advice. What's the best one though? One time she told me yellow is not my best color, and honestly, she was right. Well, that's one of them. But I think my mom has always been really focused on teaching me self-respect and how to love myself and how to not take any shit from anybody. She's been really good at that in her own life. She's always really trying to impart that on me. It's not been that successful since I'm writing this song, Come Back to You, but it is in like these moments of weakness. Because at the end of the day, look, everybody finds themselves at some point in a relationship that's not great for them to various degrees that they can't let go of. I mean, it's human. We're only human. But having her kind of ideology echo throughout my brain and my life is really like it helps ground me in those situations. Be like, what am I doing here? Like, who am I? Like, this is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. Like, where I myself would rationalize someone's bad behavior, I can start hearing my mom being like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I think that kind of sinks in a little bit and then translates into my own behavior.
You said once, quote, "The only thing that college has taught me is my horrible decision-making skills will not be improving anytime soon," unquote. So, have they improved?
Yeah, definitely. I will. Yeah, for sure. Where did I say that? Wow.
It's time for two big questions with Payson Maestridge beyond the mic. Payson, how has music changed you?
I mean, I don't even know if music has changed me because music has just been who I am. Like it's how I see the world. It's how I process things. It's me. It's, the life that I live, the choices that I've made, the deciding to become an artist in this professional capacity. It's all been driven by this like love and passion for music, for writing, for storytelling. It's just simply made me who I am. And I think for Come Back to You, as I said, we've all been there. We all have. And I think, when I'm talking to my friends, I always catch myself doing this, or if they're in the situation and they're talking to me, there's this like kind of like almost delusion that's born from wanting to rationalize your own emotions or kind of imply or apply logic where emotion is, where it's like, well, like I know this is bad, but like here's like why it's fine for XYZ reasons, or I'm over it and I swear I'm over it this time. And but instead of like that's almost like avoiding the emotion. Because if like the longer that I say like, no, this is the last time, I'm over it, I'm done, like I'm not gonna be treated like this anymore.
How do you want Come Back to You to change others?
I think, okay, look, we've all been there. We've all been in a relationship where we're with someone that we probably shouldn't be with to varying degrees. And I think something that I've noticed when I talk about it or I hear friends talk about it or anyone really is sort of this attempt to apply logic to emotion where, I hear a lot of, for lack of a better word, excuses. And I'm guilty of it. It's no judgment, but it's like, oh, I know I said this, but XYZ changed. And there's just like it's like jumping through hoops to sort of like dance around the core crux of the issue, which is like, I really love this person. And if he came back into my life or she came back to my life or whoever they came back into my life, like I take them back and I feel weak and I feel stupid and I'm angry at myself and I'm angry at them for putting me in this situation. But like, that is this situation. And there's, I can pretend like this is the last time all I want, but like, I know this pattern. And I think dancing around that by trying to be more logical or be more rational is sort of avoiding that emotion in general. And avoiding that emotion means avoiding the understanding it, like the introspection that it takes to be like, okay, well, why? Like, why do I love this person who doesn't treat me right? And why will I let him back into my life, even though he's proven time and time again that he's unreliable for whatever reason? And facing that head on sort of allows you to answer those questions. And I think answering those questions is the only way out of that pattern, because then you start to really have this understanding of what's going on in your own head and your own heart, and you can make a more informed, educated choice. And so, kind of the point of Come Back to You is in less words, like acceptance. Like it's not defeat, but it's like, this is what's happening. And I don't know, no matter what I do, I still come back to you. And I think owning that, there's some power in that a little bit. Embracing that can help you change that. So I hope that people listening to it who are in similar situations, A, get therapy because it helps, and B, kind of can use that song to accept where they're at and figure out how to move out of that space.
Let's make this a Be on the Mic XL. I'm going to ask you a couple more.
Oh
So,
God, what quotes from my diary will you pull out now?
when do you know when you're in love?
I don't know. Oh God, it's so specific person to person, but I think love has always felt very unconditional to me. So I think, and this might be toxic, but like even when someone's behaving badly, I feel like I need to understand them and to help them through that. And that feels, what a horrible toxic answer, but that feels like love to me in a sense. It's this sort of like acceptance of exactly who they are at every moment of their life.
What does love mean to you now?
I think love should be more about mutual respect because you can love a person and you can understand them and you can accept them through every phase, good or bad. But if they're not putting in as much work or have the respect for you that you do for them, then them seeing you and accepting you doesn't matter. That needs to be there.
Payson, what's the best thing about your talented brother?
Which one?
Jamin.
Jamin. Oh, we're excluding Quinn.
Sorry,
Jamin.
Quinn.
All right, Quinn. Quinn is, don't tell him I said this. I can't believe I'm saying this on camera. Quinn is the smartest person that I know. So we'll just say that so he can be included. But Jamin is so himself, and he always has been since he was a kid. Like, unabashedly, unashamedly, I don't know if that's a word, him, like, embraces his freak, creates and puts it out for everyone to see, no hesitation. So vulnerable, so talented, so funny. And I mean, literally everyone loves him. I don't know anyone who has met Jamin who doesn't absolutely adore him. And it's just because he's unapologetically him.
What's the best thing about Quinn?
I said it's he's legitimately one of
I just
those.
wanted to make sure your answer didn't change.
Now you're making me be nice to him twice. Yeah, no, he's incredibly intelligent. Like if Quinn reads something, he knows it for life. He analyzes and digests information like no one I've ever met. Super innovative, super creative, very impressive. Way more proactive than I am in any endeavor, for sure.
So, Payson, what's your next dream?
You know what I'm gonna say. Harry Styles.
Come on, other than Harry Styles.
Other than Harry Styles, I think it's just releasing more music. I have always been a little bit shy, honestly, about releasing music. I am a little bit of a perfectionist, so I'll like finish a song, but it's never really finished. And I think any artist can kind of attest to that. So I've always kind of like, I have like a kind of stash of songs that I'm hoarding away that I just feel like need to just be put out into the world for other people to listen to and receive. I have this sort of like overarching narrative project that I've been working on for years and years and years. So finishing that, recording that, it's like a narrative film based project. So shooting that and releasing that, that's next on the to-do for sure.
Where can people find you online?
Everywhere. I am on Spotify, I am on Apple Music, I am on Instagram, I think I'm on Twitter. I don't remember anymore. I think I'm on Facebook, but don't find me there. I'm sure I have a bunch of weird statuses from 2007. I'm a social media girl, so you can find me wherever. TikTok.
She's irrationally afraid of sharks, could eat 50 pumpkin munchkins at one time, and wants you to hear the single Come Back to You. Payson Maestrich, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
And that, my friends, is a Beyond the Mic XL. If you're enjoying these conversations, please check out another Beyond the Mic episode to find more actors, artists, and people you need to know. We'd also appreciate a like and subscribe on the Good Pods app.